I'm going to be presenting today with one of my doctoral students, Dr. Alicia Ross Beck, on the National Health and Safety Checklist, and we want to tell you about the development of the checklist and some findings from our pilot study. We have no relationships to disclose. The objective today is to explain the process of developing the checklist, to describe how child care health consultants in three states, Arizona, North Carolina, and California, use the health and safety checklist to objectively evaluate child care programs. And we're going to identify the standards to show you a little bit about what we find in terms of the checklist and what was met and not met in the three states in the pilot study. I want to acknowledge that we had a wonderful national group of people in our advisory committee, and we also had a survey done which included 42 participants nationally. And now I'm going to have Dr. Alicia Ross Beck talk about our background and significance.
Good morning. So I would like to first provide a little bit of background for this talk. The important resources that informed our study are the third edition of Caring for Our Children, which was published in 2011, and that led to the publication of Stepping Stones, the third edition, which was published this year. Although we have these wonderful publications that include evidence-based child care standards, there are currently no health and safety assessment tools that are based on the latest version of Caring for Our Children. Previously, the California Child Care Health Program developed a health and safety checklist that was based on the second edition of Stepping Stones. This has since been widely used in over 10 states nationwide. So understanding the link between health and safety and overall quality in child care is important for the development and improvement of child care programs. Quality rating and improvement systems are a mechanism to improve the overall quality in child care and education programs. An example of this would be the Race to the Top federal funding source that is focused on improving overall quality in child care. When evaluating the overall quality, it is important to include health and safety indicators. This has been shown in environmental rating scales, which include rating scales like the ECHRS and the ITERS. So why is health and safety important in child care? We know that in the United States, over half, 61% of children under the age of 5 participate in a child care program. Research has also shown that attending child care centers has increased the rates of respiratory infections, ear infections, and asthma in this population. Common health and safety concerns in child care directors are included in the following. So let's talk briefly about quality indicators in child care. Policies from the American Academy of Pediatrics indicate several quality indicators for child care, which are listed here. It's important to note the effect of child care health consultation, CCHCs, on quality improvement. As shown in two recent studies, providing child care health consultation services improves the health and safety policies and practices in child care centers. So the study objectives for the health and safety checklist pilot study are to first develop an observational walkthrough checklist to assess the health and safety in child care programs using standards from the third edition of Stepping Stones, and also to pilot test the checklist for the ease of administration, feasibility, the basic validity, and reliability of the checklist. So the standards that inform the health and safety checklist were systematically derived in the following way. 347 standards were selected from the 686 standards in the third edition of Caring for Our Children, and those were to be included in the selection process for developing the third edition of Stepping Stones. They were selected based on the following criteria that's outlined here, and each item was then ranked. And 138 of the highest ranked items were then included in Stepping Stones 3. To develop the health and safety checklist, observable standards were selected from Stepping Stones. Of the 138 standards in Stepping Stones, 76 were identified as observable. And these standards were later used to inform the final 124 items that are included in the health and safety checklist. For the health and safety checklist, we defined observable to be that it requires a minimal interaction with the staff or director. We're able to observe the item when we walk through a program within a 2-hour time frame. And then the components of the standards could be written in an objective way and are easy to understand. The items in the checklist require touching of structures, measuring within the facility, and also reading labels. These items do not require checking records, policies, or documents such as child immunization, staff training, staff background, or written in health and safety policies. So the standards in caring for our children and stepping stones are all evidence-based and rigorously validated by child care experts. To evaluate the content validity in the 76 standards that were included in the health and safety checklist, we wanted to do this at the level of the child care professionals working in the field. So we invited child care health consultants and professionals that are actively working in the field of child care to participate in a national online survey. We used several child care listservs to recruit participants, which are listed, and for the 76 standards, participants were asked four different questions. First question is the standard essential to prevent harm and promote health in early care and education programs? And how easy is it for child care health consultants to help programs meet the standard? And how many programs did not meet the standard in the past year? And we also asked them to rate the severity of outcomes if the standard was not followed in the child care setting. This last question was also used to rank the importance in stepping stones. So we asked this last question, we chose to repeat it with professionals that are actively working in child care environments to further validate the selection of those items in stepping stones. So our final health and safety checklist consisted of 124 items, which included 76 standards, 3 sections, and had a Flesch Kincaid readability level at the 10th grade. It also was accompanied by a user manual, which provided information on the background, the equipment that was needed, the rating scale, and also item-by-item specifications for how to use the checklist. So the equipment that was needed to complete the checklist was a tape measure, a rigid measuring stick, a refrigerator thermometer, a choke tube, a stopwatch or timer, and a clipboard or tablet to complete the checklist. The items were rated using a scale with 4 levels, never, sometimes, always, and usually and always. We also included, some items had the option of including not applicable and or not observed. The checklist format has 3 sections, as shown here, and I will describe them. In section 1, there are 4 subscales: facilities, supervision, sanitation, and nutrition. Facilities includes items in the categories of emergencies, medication, equipment, and furnishings in both the indoor and outdoor areas. Section 2 includes the subscales on pools, spas, and hot tubs, and section 3 is the subscale for infants and toddlers. One example of an item from section 1 is number 17. The question is fresh air provided by windows or a ventilation system? And we also want there to be no odors or fumes. A second example is number 90. Drinking water is available indoors and outdoor area in the indoors and outdoor areas throughout the day for children over 6 months of age. I would like to point out that the standard number is listed along with each item on the checklist, and that's to provide direct reference to caring for our children. And that brings us to our pilot study, so I'll bring you Abby Alcon.
So in the pilot study, we had participation from Arizona, California, and North Carolina. There were 5 child care health consultants across the 3 states that learned how to complete the checklist and enrolled 37 centers. We also had a wonderful participation in Arizona and North Carolina, where they also have part of their quality rating system is they collect data on the environmental rating scales using the ECRS and the ITRS. So in our pilot study, we collected data on the demographics, and we also looked at validity, face and content validity, and we looked at inter-rater reliability test retest reliability, and we wanted to just learn about the time it takes to complete the checklist and how easy it was to do. And we'll be reporting today on the descriptive statistics. So in the three states, overall, we had 37 centers, and we had participation from mostly infants and toddler centers because we wanted to learn more about how the checklist worked in those centers because we had subscales and that were specific to infants and toddlers, and we also know that that's the age group that's at most risk for health and safety problems. So in the end, we had centers that had a mean number of children of 71, and there were a large number of children who were receiving subsidies in the center, and that was also our target group. We also had a multi-ethnic group, and you could see, and you look at the overall in the end, we had 36% of the children were white, 32% African-American, 9% Asian, 16% Latino, 7% Native American, and 6% identified as mixed. The demographics in the child care center directors was a little bit different. It was 48% white, 38% African American, 5% Asian, 3% Latino, and 3% Native American. In terms of the employment, the center directors were very well experienced, and the average was 9 years employed at that center and 21 years in the area of child care health, in general. And their level of education was quite high, 29% had a master's degree or higher. So we were able to get content and face validity through the work that we were doing with our advisory committee and the online survey that Alicia just talked about. And we found that in the end, the standards that we chose to put into the checklist were really well validated by the survey that we did in the community of the 42 participants, and they also really validated what we learned from Stepping Stones. In terms of inter-rater reliability, we had each child care health consultant go out with what we call a gold standard, and they were able to achieve 90% inter-rater reliability, and we did some retest reliability over 2 weeks in the same center to see about the stability of the checklist, and it was quite good. It took about 2 hours and 18 minutes as the average time to finish the checklist, and the consultants have said that they found it took a long time the first few times that they did it because they needed to read a lot and look up things in the user manual, but it got shorter as time went on. So the results are, in terms of the subscales, I put in red here the things that went really well. So the best things were that actually medications were taken care of well, supervision, interaction and activity, and environmental health. The things that were the lowest ranked and not doing as well were the practices around hand washing and toothbrushing. And in terms of the subscale, when we looked at infant toddler in particular, I put in red there diapering. Well, that's the subscale, again, that had the most problems, and most of the centers were not meeting those standards. As you can see on the very top, pools, spas, and hot tubs, we only had 3 centers that actually had pools, spas, or hot tubs. So that might be one of those items based on this pilot study that we might want to drop if it's not being used that frequently. So one of the things I just wanted to show you was in terms of the specific items that were the lowest ranked, this one was the worst. And this one is that all children 1 year of age and over wear properly fitted and approved helmets while riding toys with wheels. And that was the one that had the lowest ranking of all. Other ones that also were not doing so well in terms of meeting the standards was this one here. Windows open less than 4 inches are protected with a window guard to prevent exit by children, which is an important safety issue. And another one was carbon monoxide detectors are present in hallways or areas outside of sleeping areas. And there was not a lot of the centers were meeting these two standards. So some of the things that I wanted to look at was a lot of people are using the environmental rating scales, and we're now introducing this very detailed health and safety checklist. So a lot of people are saying, well, why do you need the checklist when you already have the ECHRs and the ITRs? And so I looked at a subset of the centers that we had in the study that were in Arizona, and in Arizona they had data on the ECHRs, and then we had the health and safety checklist. And we find there was about a 0.3 correlation between these subscales on the ECHRs and our checklist itself. So in summary, we found that the health and safety checklist was easy to complete. It's primarily a walkthrough assessment, that it did not disrupt the center activities, that the items were written in a way that were objective and clear, and the user manual is helpful in understanding how to rate the items. Some of the subjective feedback that we've gotten from the consultants is that there were some problems with wording in certain items being double negatives. It was difficult sometimes to observe certain things versus asking questions and doing some more interviewing. Some of the infant items were difficult to look at because they weren't relevant in toddler classrooms. So these are some of the things that we'll be looking at when we revise it. In terms of the item analysis and the objective feedback, we found that there were some items that there was no variation, meaning that all of the centers either met the standard or didn't, and there wasn't a real range. So those are some that we're going to look at in terms of changing those items or maybe deleting them. And the other thing is, we found that it's hard for people to differentiate what is not observed and not applicable, and maybe having those two options is not the best way to go. So we're learning as we go along. Our next steps is to review these findings with our child care health consultants that participated, with our advisory committee also. We're going to be revising some of the items itself. We're going to edit the actual wording so that it's going to be at the eighth grade reading level. We want to also develop a summary so that when you complete the checklist, you'll be able to generate a summary form quite easily. And we will be having a web-based format for the checklist. We're going to be editing the user manual. And down the road, we might be developing other checklists because, as we mentioned earlier, this doesn't include health policies, health records, or staff training. And if we're funded further, we will be developing an online training so that anybody could go online and be trained on how to use the checklist. The implications are that we do know that there are some federal agencies and other regulatory agencies that are interested in operationalizing this standards, and this might be a way that they could by using this type of checklist. And it would be a standard way of collecting data across states so we could compare our data across the states and within our states, and so we could all understand also the implications of our regulations and what's happening in each of our states and learn from each other too. So we're planning to revise the checklist and that it would be posted on our website. So thank you very much.